Now, in the back, in the foyer, when you got your bulletin, there is a 10-day Easter reflection that is put out by Our Daily Bread. And certainly those that are watching online, if you would like to have one of these, you give the office a call. We'll be glad to get it to you. I would encourage you in this last few days that we have left of Lent that you take these 10 days and prayerfully read through the scripture text and applying those as we prepare our hearts for Monday, Thursday, which we will have a Holy Thursday service at 6:30. And I want to invite all of you to come with your family, with your friends, as we go into Holy Week. And I hope that you will take that with you when you go today. I think everyone would agree that since we pledged it to be so in our church covenant, that it is vital to the health of ourselves, to one another, and to everyone in the body of Christ, that we take personal responsibility and accountability to control our anger, shun profane speech, and abstain from gossip. Now, last week, we read in Ephesians chapter 4 about the Lord's admonition, which says this: put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life, and it is corrupt through a deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new nature, created after the likeness of God. Did you know that, Kali? I can just stop there and just be so in awe that our new nature is in the likeness of God, of true righteousness and holiness. Holiness. God bless you. If there was one thing that you asked me, if I said, what is one thing that I can give to each and every single one of you as an attribute and character? There's so many. If there's one thing alone, and I would give you would be that you would be holy as God is holy. And then it says, therefore, let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for edifying, as fitting the occasion. In other words, the things that come out of our mouth, we need to not only be personally accountable for, but we have to look around and be situationally aware of who's listening, that it may impart grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know that the words that come out of your mouth will either bless the Holy Spirit or grieve the Holy Spirit? That's powerful. That's powerful. In whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and rage and anger, and we talked about last week about this sinful anger, out of control anger, and uproar, that means stirring up trouble, and insults be put away from you. And interestingly enough, when we have those kind of characteristics, if we really, really examine ourselves, there is actually evil intent there. There's malice there. But instead, we are to be kind to one another. If you're holy, as God is holy, you're naturally going to be kind to one another. You're going to be tender-hearted. You're going to be compassionate. You're going to forgive one another. And you're going to do it to the same degree as God in Christ forgave you. That is a high benchmark, isn't it? To treat others the same way that God has treated you. I would contend that these sinful and destructive behavioral actions, things like unaccountable anger, profanity, and gossip are characteristic. They are of this old nature. The old nature, which involves wickedness. It involves sinners. And it's the old nature of scoffers. Please follow along with me in your Bibles as I read from the book of Psalms, chapter 1. And I'm waiting for those that are watching online to make sure you have your Bible with you. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Beginning of verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks, what's the next word? Not. So, here it is. Here's a big, you know, I keep telling people when I counsel them, I'm just a big road sign. You know those big neon signs that are on the freeway? There, you can look at this road sign, look at me as a road sign, and you could take one of three approaches. You can ignore me and drive right on by. You could say, my, that is an awfully handsome looking road sign with his beautiful long flowing hair, but keep going on. Or three, you can read it, follow it, in order to be able to safely get to where you're going. Same thing with God's Word. That's why you will never ever see me put anything on top of my Bible. I will never ever set anything on top of my Bible. Nothing is higher and lifted up more than God's Word. So, here's the road sign, guys. The word not. Walk not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But, now listen, this is the cost. This is what you need to do. You need to delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruits in its seasons, and its leaves does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Now the wicked are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, in other words, there is a consequence that you can take to the bank here, gang. There's a consequence. The wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For God knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. May the Lord bless you exceedingly in the reading of His Word. Originally, I wanted to make this a one complete sermon. I've asked Jeff and some of the other ones have asked me for kind of I'll be preaching on over the course of the next few months, and I gave that, and so I wanted to stay with that, and the Lord said no. The Lord laid it on my heart that preaching all of these three sinful behaviors are too much to take in one sitting. Consequently, the Lord's message last week dealt with our need to control our sinful anger because it creates a barrier. Our sinful nature creates a barrier to the Lord, and it also hinders our united relationship with God and with one another because it takes our focused energies and places them on the anger itself rather than on glorifying God. Today the Lord wants us to prayerfully, I'm asking you, to prayerfully listen and respond to God regarding profane speech and gossip. Now, on the topic of this sin of profane speech, I would like to not delve into the neurological conditions of tic disorders, such as Tourette syndrome, or the occasional characteristic of the disorders that can include coprolalia, which is an involuntary swearing or the involuntary utterance of obscene words or socially inappropriate or derogatory remarks that can be a symptom of a mental illness or an organic brain disease. I am talking about profane patterns of speech which are using words of a sacred nature irreverently or uses coarse ideas or words. Now, let me be clear. I'm not necessarily in total agreement with this next statement, but some psychologists like Emily Petsko takes the position that swearing can be healthy and good fun for you. That's the part that bothers me. Here's, you got this psychologist saying swearing is healthy and good fun for you, and therein lies my rub for you. But in some situations, it's inappropriate. As a side note, it may be fun for you in the moment, but I think all of us have been victim to the fact that it can cause a lifetime of pain for the one who has to hear it come out of your mouth. So her solution in reducing your cussing is by trying these five little tactics. She says, number one, ask a friend to help and to be accountable. Now, I'm not in disagreement that we need things to help us on these things. The more you start recognizing your patterns of speech, the easier it will be to change them. Very similar to what Lori talked about with her message to the children. Number two, find some replacement words to reduce your need to swear. She said this one, pretend that your grandmother is listening. Well, I would offer to you, better yet, recognize that God is present and God is listening to you. Number four, train your brain to think differently. Immediately after you recognize your outbursts, and then I would also say and confess your sin to the Lord, ask yourself what you should have said instead. According to, now listen to this, according to James O'Connor, who is the president of, get ready, the Cuss Control Academy. There is such as a Cuss Control Academy. They are located in Lake Forest, Illinois, that only for the charge of $2,500, he will coach you in dealing with your sin of profane speech. And he teaches that by saying that the preferred word out loud and over time, these exercises will train you to think and act differently. I'll only charge you $1,500. The fifth one is get out the good old-fashioned swear jar. Anytime you swear, put a crisp $1 bill in and stick it in the jar. Set a goal for yourself. Say, let's say 2 weeks with no swearing. And then let the swear jar serve as a testimony to your journey. After reaching your goal, you can use that money to buy yourself a nice reward. How about this? How about we just faithfully obey God's commands and warnings? If you discern the scriptures and lean on divine power of the Holy Spirit, who is ready to help you in your life, claim God's word. In Colossians 3:8, it says, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as anger and rage and malice, slander, and here it is, filthy language from your lips. Deal directly with the evil intent and sinful motives you have so that you do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that is helpful for the building up of one another. According to not your need, but according to their need. In other words, the things that come out of your mouth, it's not for selfish needs or self-gratification. It's for the one that may benefit the one that is having to listen to what you say. When we talk about the issue of gossiping, here's a dictionary definition of gossiping. Casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. Now, the stories they tell, these gossip stories, are make-believe dramatics designed to grab attention and to set a team of people against one another or others. Here it is. Are you ready? This is really great, Francis. You're going to love this. Do you know what the root cause of gossip is? Anybody ever thought about that? The root cause of gossip almost every single time without fail is jealousy. And jealousy leads to betrayal with our own words. The more successful you are, the more attractive you are, the more kind that you are, the more self-assured that you are, the more people will gossip about you. Being the focus of gossip is not only likely to be humiliating in the moment, it can also have a long-term negative impact on a person's self-confidence and self-esteem. This impact might, in some cases, contribute to the development of depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, and eating disorders. According to psychologist Sherry Campbell, traits of gossipers can be described as immature, embellishers, emotionally violent, seductive, insecure, and parasitic, all of which undermines any foundation of trust in an effort to, what? Only build themselves up. Very quickly, I want to tell you, when I, as many of you know, in the ministry of practicing law, I have represented every crime that can be committed as their attorney. And many a times in these violent crimes, I would ask the client, what was your motivation? Why did you do it? And their response typically is, because it made me feel better. When I was in Iraq, I was the only lawyer for 2,700 signal troops forward across Kuwait, Iraq, and Afghanistan. And when I got to Camp Buka, for 39 days in 140-degree weather, I conducted 400 interrogations and trials. And that was not in air conditioning. And when I would do the interrogations, I would have to have them disrobe. Because a lot of times the intel that I get in my interrogations had to do with markings that they had on their body. And 99.99% of them were Muslim. Well, it is against the Quran to cause any type of self-inflicted pain. And so many of them in the detention facility would take anything in order to cut themselves, whatever they could find, just gaping wounds across their chests, down their arms, wherever they can be able to cut themselves. And I would ask them, why? Why would you do that to yourself? And it always came back the same way, because it made me feel better. The only results one gets from gossiping is personal gratification, making yourself feel better. But at the same time, it ignites a firestorm of damage to the one that has to hear it and to the one in which the story is about. It is not only a non-Christ-like, it is Christ-offensive. And let's call it what it is: wicked, evil, and sin. Like every sin and bad habit, the solution requires effort and the practice of different kinds of speech. Here are some things to learn in order to deal with the sin of gossip. Let me give you three, and they actually come from Bible verses. For example, in Proverbs 29:23, it talks about learn to apologize. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. The other one is at Proverbs 10:19. Learn to hold your tongue. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips, as Susan so beautifully did in Sunday school class this morning, which I encourage everyone to come to Sunday school class at 10, is that it leads to wisdom and is wise. And then the third one comes out of Proverbs 16:21. Learn how to say the right thing at the right time. The wise in heart will be called understanding, and the sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Okay. Let's see if we could see anger, profanity, and gossip from a biblical perspective by using the words anger, profanity, and gossip in place of wicked, sinners, and scoffers found in Psalm 1. So let's go back to Psalm 1. Look at your Bibles. And I want you to open it up there to Psalm 1. And I'm kind of making an analogy here, but I want to superimpose this to drive home this issue of anger and profanity and gossip. Here we go. You ready? Psalm 1. Blessed, Ron Rollis' translation. Blessed are you who walks not in the counsel of the angry, nor stands in the way of the profane, nor sits in the seat of gossipers. Did you guys ever notice this? That practicing sin in any form makes the ongoing efforts to continue sinning easier and easier. When you read that in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, it goes from walking with sin to standing with sin to merely taking a seat or a seated position while sinning. Have you ever noticed that? Sin allows sinning to get easier and easier. But never fear, God has given us many keys in Scripture to control our anger, shun our profane speech, and abstain from gossiping. Through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your new life, in your new nature, we can find freedom from sin and the bondage from sin that we need. As believers in Christ and God's people, we are sealed, we are sealed, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit for all eternity. The Lord said He has. The Lord said He has put His law within us and wrote it upon our hearts. So the freedom comes from when we, verse 2, what does verse 2 say? When we delight in the law of the Lord, and on His law you meditate day and night. You will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruits in its seasons, and its leaves never wither, and in all that you do, you prosper. Then verse 4. Here it is again, Ron's translation. The angry are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the angry will not stand in judgment, and nor profane in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the angry, which are the wicked, the profane, which are the sinners, and those who gossip, or the scoffers, they will perish. I want to sum it up this way, with this point. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, it warns us to avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it, now listen, those who indulge in godless chatter will become more and more ungodly. And then in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, a good man brings good things out of the good that is stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil that is stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Golly, that is just powerful. So I ask you this, does your mouth spew out the evil in your heart in the form of raging anger, profane words, gossip? Or is it the spiritual fruit of goodness stored up in your heart, which is where the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer in Christ, which, as you know, either grieves or is blessed by what you say. So to prosper in life according to God's will, stop letting yourself become uncontrollably angry. Stop using profane language and stop gossiping. Instead, and here it is, because I'm a practical application person. So I don't want to be like that person where that demon was cast out, nothing replaced it, and a whole legion came back. So what do we do? How do we replace it with what? Well, we replace it with spiritual disciplines. Daily, we need to do inward disciplines like meditation, prayer, fasting, Bible study. I encourage you to get involved in a small group Bible study or Sunday school class. We have amazing teachers that God has chosen to help. They prepare. It is amazing what they impart from God's Word. But you need to be here. Then the outward discipline of simplicity, solitude, submission, and service. There are a number of opportunities to get involved with in this church. And then there's corporate disciplines such as confession, worship, guidance, and celebration. The Lord commands us not to neglect our meeting together. We find that in Hebrews chapter 10. These are biblically based spiritual disciplines that I plan on preaching on later in the year. And I want to cover in future Bible studies here at First Baptist Church of Piedmont. Okay. Here are several simple questions for you to consider today. Do you have a heart attitude of gratitude? Do you have a heart attitude of gratitude for God's undeserving grace and for what the Lord has done for you, who gave you a new nature in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness? Does your tongue expose the telltale condition of your heart as being holy? In other words, are you motivated to demonstrate this new nature in Christ by being kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you? Or are you going to continue to be known? Are you going to continue to be known as the one who lets bitterness and rage and anger and uproar and insults and profanity and gossip define and control who you are and destroys your witness for the Lord? In Psalm 139, 23 and 24, David prayed and petitioned before the Lord this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Therefore, I'm going to pray this morning something very, very bold. It's a powerful prayer right now. And if the Lord has convicted you of lashing out in sinful anger, using unholy words in your speech, or harbored an evil intent to spread gossip that is not edifying to those whose ears you are trying to tickle, you need to come forward and you need to repent. Confess to the Lord that your behavior is wicked, it's sinful, and that of a worldly ridiculer. Be cleansed today and put on the new nature created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Here's the And before we sing the invitation to come forward, I want you to bow your head. And I'm going to pray this prayer. And I want you to know I believe in this prayer. And I believe this prayer is needed for this congregation today. Bow your heads here, bow your heads that's watching on the television monitor. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we bind up and rebuke every spirit of gossip, slandering, backbiting, anger, hatred, unforgiveness, bitterness, strife, arrogance, haughtiness, and pride. We cast them out of our lives and we loose your heavenly hosts on them. Strip them down and remove these evil spirits permanently out of our lives and cast them into the bottomless pit, never to return again. Father, we repent from all of our wrongdoings. Forgive us. cleanse us and wash our slack mouths with your precious blood, Lord Jesus, and save it from uttering negativity and destruction. Help us to be the one to take the first steps and seek forgiveness from those we have offended and to forgive those who have offended us. Help us to pray for one another. Help us to live in peace, live in harmony, live in unity, and may your agape and eternal love in our lives cover the multitude of sins of those who continuously offend us. Teach us to walk always in love. Give us discernment to understand why people hurt others or trash others so much, to maybe hide the hurt and resentment they might have experienced in their own lives, to look past their faults and reach out to them in love, to help them heal. Help us to dwell in unity and your word that your word has declared. We declare this, and it is so in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As the Lord leads you, you come. He's waiting for you to respond to Him right now.